Welcome to the Holistic Career Change Podcast, one-stop shop for everyone feeling stuck in their career and who are looking to identify, change, and succeed at their new fulfilling work. I'm your host, Dilmo Seita. Let's go. Hi, lovers. How are you? Happy Easter Monday for those of you who are marking and celebrating this beautiful time of rebirth. It actually was my birthday on the 4th, and it was the first time I remember my birthday falling out on Easter. So that was fabulous. Obviously, because of the current lockdown, I could not really throw a party, so it was a rather intimate affair. And, you know, I was just responding to the messages and having lovely phone conversations and catching up with my friends and family. So if you're someone who sent me a message, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Also, this got me thinking just in general how differently people tend to feel about their birthdays. You'll find some people really enjoying celebrating and marking the occasion, and for some, it will be one of the worst days of the year, without even exaggerating it. I turned 34, and I feel like I'm in this phase of my life where I'm completely neutral about my birthday. However, it wasn't always the case for me, and I do remember many, many years, especially when I didn't feel like my life was unfolding the way I had envisioned it, that birthdays really felt like a cruel reminder of all that I didn't manage to accomplish on my 15-page life plan that I had put together. I don't know if you can relate, but I definitely was there. It was almost like I didn't even feel deserving to be celebrating myself and my life. So I would just like pretend I didn't care about birthdays. I was so beyond celebrating and so above throwing birthday parties. And of course, my asshole brain would make up, you know, these very smart justifications as to why I should not be celebrating, which would often be along the lines of, "Well, Vilma, your friends are so different. If you invited all of them to one place, you'd have to spend the whole night micromanaging everyone's emotions and trying to ensure that people are happy and they're fed and they have a drink in their hands. So it wouldn't really be a celebration of you, and you would be entertaining and worrying and trying to ensure no one feels awkward. Because as an empath and intuitive, I often feel other people's emotions much clearer than I feel myself. So in order for me to feel better, I would often find myself attending to other people's emotional needs. Because as they were feeling better, so would I end up feeling better around them." Very selfish reason. And if any of you listening to this are nodding right now, well, then you are my fellow empath, and you already know that, you know, and that's always nice to hear that there is this reassurance that you're not alone. There are a lot of us empaths who actually deal with it on a daily basis. And if you did not know that you're an empath, but you did recognize yourself in what I just described as a potential scenario, well, then you're welcome to the Empath Club. So the next step for you is to really focus and start working on your boundaries. A huge topic for us empaths. Now, going back to birthdays and me not wanting to throw any parties, I'm not saying all of that is not true. I've always had friends from different backgrounds and different ages, but you know what's interesting? What's interesting is that my unwillingness to celebrate birthdays above everything was really a representation of so many unintegrated parts within me when I was still trying to wear many masks and I was trying to fit in and be liked everywhere I went. So in the office, you'd get one version of Vilma. At home, you'd get a different version of Vilma. With my friends, there would be yet another version. In romantic relationships, yet another mask to wear. And you know, it has nothing to do with schizophrenia, by the way. It has all to do with me trying to be everything for everyone. And do you know where that leads to? Burnout, fatigue, an unprecedented loss of direction, which was what essentially we honored in the last podcast episode. If you haven't listened to it, please do. It was rather teary reminder that you have the right to not know anything about your life right now. It was about learning how to sink into and accept what's happening to you right now versus judging this not knowingness and resisting it. Because resistance to what you are experiencing right now is a thief. It will rob you of enjoying your however seemingly imperfect life in the moment. And our inability to first notice and then accept and then appreciate what is essentially like this time warp where one day, 20, even 10 years from now, you may wake up and say, how the hell did I arrive at this point in my life? I was literally just at university or that first job, and now 10 or 20 years later, how am I here? How am I this version of myself in this body, in this house, at this job? This makes no sense. You know how? Because probably you've been resisting what is, living in the past and fearing or dreaming of the future. But you were very rarely in the present. I honestly can tell you, I missed the majority of my 20s. I do remember fragments of mostly when I lived abroad or when I traveled. So these heightened senses of emotions, I do have memories attached to them. But when it comes to my jobs, the jobs, by the way, which I was changing as you change socks, nothing. Literally nothing. It's like someone had deleted my memory. I was so busy denying and investing so much energy in resisting my reality that I completely missed it. Sometimes, even to this day, I have these moments when seeing my friends tell me of a story or memory that we've shared. I listen to them as if I was hearing them, like these stories, for the first time. It's almost like I was not even there. It's like the most bizarre manifestation of me refusing to accept my present moment. That kind of makes me sad. And that makes me even more passionate about sharing this message because I don't want this to be you. And now I'm in really, really inviting you to accept and squeeze every little drop of that goodness from each moment of your life, whether you're listening to this podcast right now, whether you're, you know, laying down and maybe giving your feet a massage or a little rub, whatever it is, just being present. Even present for those moments that are not all roses and champagne. Roses and champagne, top of the world kind of moments are illuminating, they are exciting. But rarely do they carry the lesson and the medicine the way those less attractive moments do, which we usually choose to forego. So last week, it really was all about giving ourselves permission to not be okay, to not know, because you have a right. That's your birthright to not know. And in this week's episode today, I really want to invite you to do something fun. Okay, because I like fun. I think a lot of truth can be born from joy. So today I want to invite you to give yourself permission to get more clarity about what that next step may look like for you. Because clearly, if you're still sticking to this podcast, still listening to me crying, snorting, laughing, and shouting when I get excited, clearly, you know that whatever it is that you're experiencing in your life is not working and you need to change something up, okay? So, as you already know, and especially if you've been listening to me speak here for all of the 14 episodes, you will have noticed that I often refer to the thought work and how we should not always believe the thoughts that we think. Here's why. Our brain is designed to keep us safe. Safety is often looking very different essentially the opposite of any type of change, especially of career change. So our brain will mostly perceive career change as unsafe and will try to talk us out of it. Therefore, one of the most useful tools you could add to your toolbox is building your ability to observe your brain thinking without becoming one with your thoughts. Now that is something you can learn over time. It's a practice. The way you practice yoga or the way you develop your workout routine. All a practice. You start small and then you increase the weights, right? So for instance, when I started working out with my trainer, we really needed to work on my back because I used to sit a lot. I had a posture that was not healthy, right? So at first, she would give me these exercises for my back and shoulders without any weights. Literally, even just stretching would be a bit of a stretch for me. And then, you know, when I became a little more flexible and my back was not as stiff anymore, she gave me like this exercise stick. So I would like kind of do these exercises with a long stick. And then, only then, after some time, we added in weights to the equation when I became stronger. So same goes with thought work. It's a practice. Essentially, the way you shower your body and you cleanse your body, being able to build awareness of your thoughts and emotions is the same hygiene for your brain. Okay? And if you're anything like me, you might be thinking, okay, practice, got it. But what about now? What is it that I could do now to help me get more clarity and maybe help me forego the asshole brain feeding me lies, right? And this is what I will help you with today. And that is playing with me this rapid fire game. So this will especially serve those of you who are currently seeking for direction and you feel lost. And those of you who think, if only I had my answers, if only I had that clarity on what the next step would be, I could really make it happen. I have enough fire and passion to change something, but I just don't know what it is yet, right? So this is especially for those of you, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to play the rapid fire question game. In coaching, questions are the main tool that we use to help our clients change their existence around. When we ask what we call high-quality, empowering questions, we then get creative and inspiring answers. So that's why questions are one of the most powerful tools you can use to help you shift your perception and, in turn, your reality. So an example of a high-quality question could be, how can I feel better now? Now, an example of a non-productive question could be, why am I not feeling good right now? So the difference between the two is really subtle, and our brain tends to be usually filled with the latter examples, right? The higher quality of the question, the higher quality of the answer we will get. So in the first example, you will be instructing your brain to find all the ways how you could feel better in the moment. It will tell you to take a bath. It will tell you to get a hot chocolate. It will tell you to take a nap. It will tell you to call a friend. It will tell you to kiss your partner, right? It will give you quality answers on how to solve the problem. Now, if you ask, why am I not feeling good in the moment? In the second example, you will be instructing your brain to give you all the reasons why you feel awful and why nothing is working out for you currently and probably in your life, because usually it spirals out. So the tiniest shift in your question could lead you to two completely different places and outcomes. In the first example, you'll probably find something that makes you feel good and you will end up just doing that exercise or, you know, performing that activity, taking a nap, whatever it is that your brain will suggest you to do, and that will lead you to feeling better and probably continuing to be productive and doing whatever you need to do for the rest of your day. Whereas in the second example, it will just give you so many reasons as to why you should continue feeling awful, because it will find all the reasons why you suck and why your life sucks. So that one simple question and the way you format it is going to literally determine your mood. So another thing that's really interesting is when we're asked a question, our whole brain becomes stimulated and serotonin is released. This release of serotonin then causes our brain to relax, and it puts it in the state to be able to find answers and develop solutions. This is a very unique brain state. And questions usually help us essentially, like I call it, hijack the brain in a way, because a question will trigger a mental reflex, what is also referred to as instinctive elaboration, which in a nutshell just means that if we are present when the question is asked, our brain can only think about the answer to a question and it cannot focus on anything else in the moment. So with rapid fire, what we're doing is we're gonna make the most out of this brain's response. Now, this is what I want you to do. I want you to pause if you need to and grab a pen and notebook right now. Get your favorite journal or wherever you scribble your most intimate thoughts and realizations. Get that right now. And then I want you to get comfy. I want you to sit down somewhere where you can write comfortably. If you want, light a candle, put on some meditation music. Make sure, you know, you have at least 30 minutes to stay with this exercise. Ideally, you'll do it even for longer, but just make sure that you find a time and space where no one is interrupting you, because this is your time. Okay? So this is what is going to happen. I'm going to read out a question for you. And what I want you to do is, once you hear the question, I want you to instantly write down whatever answer comes to you. I mean, instantly, no thinking. Before your brain can attack, negotiate, or turn your answer into some sort of acceptable vanilla response that we don't want. This is not the place where we tolerate those rehearsed answers. This is an exercise to get through to your soul and to your heart. And this is what I want to take the lead in this exercise. The first answer that comes to your head, even if, and especially if it makes no sense to your brain, write it down. That's your gold. Do not overthink it and practice hearing your answer and just putting it down. Like literally, like I can assure you, if you just open up to this exercise, you will hear your answer before I'm even finished with reading my question. Your heart and your soul wants to communicate to you, okay? So they will give you the answer instantly, as long as you don't start negotiating it and turning it into something that is not your truth. I'm only going to give you a few moments in between the questions for that exact reason. If, however, you see that you get a stream of answer coming in and it's a longer answer than just one or two words, and you'd like to jot it all down, then pause the episode, write it all down, and then you can resume it and continue with the next question that I will ask you. I can assure you, if you do this, you will be accessing your own personal truth unlike you have ever heard it before. You will be able to get answers and clarity like you've never had before. And a very short word of caution before we start. There will be some questions where your habitual answer will be, I don't know, or something along those lines. I want you to know that is not your truth. I don't know is your learned way of blocking yourself from your own source of wisdom. It's okay. A lot of us do that. We've learn to do it, as there are so many situations in our life where our truth may have been uncomfortable. So we learn to rather, figuratively speaking, lock the door and throw away the key than to access and acknowledge and integrate whatever our truth is. So in those moments where you hear, I don't know, I would like you to try to open yourself up to hearing the answer. If in your mind you hear, I don't know, I want you to then inquire, what would the answer be if I did know? And then jot down whatever comes. Okay, so just try. Don't get discouraged if your first answer, like your protective barrier, is going to sound like, I don't know. Continue inquiring further. Okay, remember, no judgment, no filtering, just juicy soul truth. Okay, so I've selected 30 questions for you, which I found to be very penetrating, for the lack of a better word, and very revealing in my work with clients and also when it comes to my work with myself. It may seem that some questions are repetitive or essentially asking for the same thing, just in different words. I want you to go with it because they are like that for a reason. So just ground yourself in the present moment and go with it and just write down whatever first answer comes to you. Usually these are going to be short answers, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words. Again, like I said, if something that is coming through is in the form of a sentence and it feels like it's your truth, pause and write it all down. Okay? Ready? I'm so excited. I think I'm going to record this and do this myself because I really like revisiting these questions every now and then. Okay, here we go. The first question. What do I really want for myself at this point in my life? What do I really want for myself at this point in my life? Write down whatever came. No arguing, no questioning. Question number 2. Why do I want it? Got it? Okay. Next question. What am I so committed to that no amount of failure could prevent me from continuing to do it or to aim for it? What am I so committed to that no amount of failure could stop me? Write down whatever comes, no matter how nonsensical it means or it sounds. Next question. How can I make my future more exciting than my past? How can I make my future more exciting than my past? Question number 5. What is the number one belief in my life that holds me back and prevents me from getting what I want in life? What is the number one belief that is holding me back in my life? Write it down. It will come instantly. Next question. What do I love about myself? What do I love about myself? Oh, I bet the list is so long. But write down just the first thing that comes to you. Number 7. Who do I feel I'm meant to be in this life? Who am I meant to be in this life? It's a good question. Next question. What do I feel I'm meant to do in this life? What am I meant to do in this life? Write down the answer. It's going to be a couple of words. What am I meant to do in this life? Question number 9. If I had all the money in the world and I could never run out of it, what would I do with my time, energy, and resources? If money was no issue, what would I do with my life? If you're getting the same answers or similar answers to the questions, just roll with it. That's your truth. Don't question it. Question number 11. How can I be an example of what's possible? Next question. What do I want my life to be in service of? What is my service? Question number 12. What do I not want others to know about me? What is that something that I do not want others to know about me? Number 13. How can I live my best life? How can I live my best life? Such a good question. No, I don't know. What would the answer be if you knew the answer? How can I live my best life? How can you be a rock star? I've always wanted to be a rock star. Just write down whatever comes. A few words. Next question. What am I pretending to not know? What am I pretending to not know? Number 15. How do I define success for me? Personally, what is my definition of success? Write it down. Next question. How can I take more responsibility for my life? How can I take more responsibility for my life? Question number 17. A singer notices a talented vocalist. A car mechanic notices a well-made engine. What do I notice? What do I notice that other people do not necessarily notice? What is my superpower? Write it down. You know the answer. Next question. Who do I envy and why? Who do I envy and why do I envy them? Number 19. What problem do I want to solve? What problem do I want to solve? Imagining that I died yesterday, what would I regret? What things would I have done differently if I died yesterday and I could review my life? What would I regret? What would I do differently? Nothing is also a good answer here. That's what I'm getting. I'm sharing my answers as they come. What would you do differently? What would you regret if you died yesterday? Next question. What gift am I meant to give this world in this life? What gift am I meant to give to this world in this lifetime? You do know. You do know. Question number 22. What have I done in the past that is the most meaningful to me? Looking back, what have I done in the past that is the most meaningful to me? What comes? Whatever comes, write it down. It could be anything. Don't judge, just jot it down. Question number 23. What makes me forget to eat and sleep? What makes me forget to eat and sleep? What activity, what place, what person, what task makes me completely forget that I have any physiological needs? Next question. If I were to be completely honest with myself right now, what is my actual priority at this time in my life? And why? What is my priority in my life right now? And why? The first thing that comes. Don't try to negotiate with the answer that comes, okay? Don't do that. You've done that enough of that throughout your lifetime. This is time for the truth, for your soul's wisdom, for your heart's truth. What is my priority at this point in time? No one is going to see your notes, just be honest. Next question. Who do I need to be to achieve my purpose? Who do I need to be to achieve my purpose? What's the first answer that comes? Could be a magician. I don't know. What could it be for you? I hear a magician for me. I don't know if it's my answer, if it's someone, one of yours answers. Number 26. What would I take a stand for and what would I take a stand against? What would I take a stand for and what would I take a stand against? What do you hear? This is a value question. What do you stand for? Number 27. What armor do I use to protect my vulnerability? What armor do I use to protect my vulnerability? What is my armor? Next question. What do I love too much to turn into a profession? What do I love too much to turn into a profession? It's a very good question. Question number 29. What is calling me? Can sense energy. What is calling me? We're creating such a beautiful space here. I want you to ask yourself, what is calling you? You may think you don't understand the question. You may think you want to clarify the question. Don't do any of that. Just write down whatever answer comes to you when I ask you, what is calling you? The final question. What do I hear in the silence? What do I hear in the silence? Write it down. How do you feel right now? This is not part of the question, so you don't have to write anything down anymore. That was the last question. I want you to close your eyes and tune into your body. Scan yourself. Start at the top of your head. Direct your inner gaze to your face. Slide down to your neck, your shoulders. Feel the energy in your chest, your arms. Move down your navel. Scan your hips, your lower back. Move your inner gaze down your thighs, your knees. Your ankles. Your heels. Your toes. Feel your feet grounding. Take a big breath in and release it. How do you feel? I want you to sit with all of what just transpired. Just sit with your truth. In acceptance and wonder and all and any emotions that might have resurfaced for your review, for you to accept and love them. Sit with all of the answers that made sense and sit with those that did not make sense. You may want to journal a little more if you're called. You may notice if there are any recurring patterns, if there are any aha moments and realizations. Was there a particular question or was there an answer that you received that really triggered a very strong emotional response within you? Maybe you received one-word answers and you may want to take that one word and journal and look into it more, expand it. Try to understand what it means. It will speak to you if you ask it questions. What did you learn about yourself today? Let your truth be heard and acknowledged like it has never been acknowledged before. What you're experiencing right now is a gorgeous process of unfolding, of unbecoming, of remembrance. It's a sacred process of alchemy. You're like this beautiful lotus flower opening up at the pace and at the manner that only makes sense to you. So you owe no explanations, and you should attach zero timelines to this process of remembering who you are and what you're here for. I want you to go back to these questions if you feel the need as much as you're called to revisit them. If you'd like to share with me what came through, please, please, please find me on Instagram and share. I love hearing from you very, very much. I care deeply for the work that I do. I hope this was useful. I hope this left you more open and more willing to receive. Maybe this was just the beginning. Maybe this opened up the door or a little window to your truth and you'll be receiving even more in the coming couple of days. The fact that you're listening to this podcast right now is not an accident. This was meant to happen, and this was meant to be a necessary puzzle piece in your journey. And I'm very honored that you allow me to participate in the sacred process. I'm wishing you a week full of truth. And I'll speak to you next Monday. Bye.
Thank you for spending time with me today. If you enjoy this content, I would really appreciate it if you would rate and subscribe to my podcast. And don't forget to pass this along to anyone you know who might be considering a career change. Every little counts.